Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord,
everyone.
Praise the Lord.
This is one time I want you to do what you are encouraged to do. Humble yourself and do it. Praise the Lord,
everyone.
Praise the Lord. Let's don't wait for pep rallies in this camp. Let's just have a camp without a pep rally. Thanks the Lord. Thanks the Lord. Thanks the Lord. Thanks the Lord. You look good, folks. You look good. This building wouldn't be worth 10 cents without you people. Somebody went through the church at DeRitter and looked it all over. That's when I was still pastor, and began to brag on it. I said, this building don't mean a thing to me. It's the people that make it. And we had a lot to say about the building, but we wouldn't need it without you. You're the church, and how many of you are glad you are? Praise the Lord. Of course, no one is more thankful, more grateful for the progress that I see. And I'm in a position to say that I can really see it, because I was here fighting the mosquitoes and the frogs and the flies. And I remember we had a camp meeting here one year, and mosquitoes moved in on us and almost run us home. Brother Nelson was preaching that year, Brother Nelson from Oklahoma, and he said, listen to them saying. Just listen to them out there singing. And we all could hear them. He said, they're singing nothing but the blood. Amen. He preached one night about the three frogs. How many of you preachers can remember that long? Three frogs. I even know what he named them. And the next night, I never heard so many frogs a-chirping in my life. Brother Nelson said I made every one of them mad last night. And they're telling me about it tonight. But thank God for this very moment. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take a moment here. We're not going to go home till I get through anyway. And I'm going to put a stop to this foolishness that things are too good, too nice. Yeah, if I'd have been expecting it, I'd have had my finger on it. But I built a church in DeRitter, $250,000 church. And I told the people, our friends are going to be happy for us, but it's our neighbors that belong to our same faith that's going to have a lot to say. And they began saying it. It's too nice. It's too nice. It's too nice. And I got worried about it. I tell you the truth, that I didn't want them feeling that way. One from a neighboring church called me and said, Brother Glass, I want to ask you a question. He said, did you say that there would be no more shouting in your church since you moved in that new building? I said, I'm going to ask you a question, sister. Do you believe I said it? She said, no, I don't. I said, thank you. Thank you. I never said it. We've already had some shouting, and we're going to have some more. Praise the Lord. And I worried about what all the people saying about things so nice. And I was in my study one Wednesday praying, reading the Bible, and I read a verse of Scripture that I'd never read before. I really didn't know it was in the Bible, and I read the Bible through more than one time, but it just didn't register with me. But this day I found it, and I like to have actually gone into orbit. I couldn't sit in my chair. The office was too little for me to stay in it. I got out in the hall of the educational building. It was too small. I got out in the sanctuary, and I had myself a time for a while over that verse of Scripture. And I told the church that night, Sunday week, I want you to bring your Bible and a pen. I want you to mark a verse of Scripture that I'm going to read to you. And don't nobody ask me until then. I'm not going to tell you. You've never read it. You've never heard it. You don't know it's in there because I didn't, and I know you didn't. But brother, they brought the Bible, and they wanted to know. And how many of you would like to know? Say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
All right, I'm going to read it to you. 1 Chronicles 22 and 5. The house that is to be builded for the Lord must be exceeding magnificent of fame and glory throughout all countries. Now build something too nice for the Lord. The house that is to be builded for the Lord must be exceeding magnificent. Study the word magnificent. It means this. It must be haughty. It must be elaborate. It must be showy. Now tell me there's something too nice for God. I read it to that church and I said, forget what anybody says about anything being too nice. Forget it. And I said, church, you better be glad I didn't find this before we built this church. Instead of cement mortar joints, it'd be gold and silver. Praise the Lord! I know a lot of saints of God that live in air-conditioned houses, brick homes. My, they're bogged up in society to their ears. But the house of God has got to be almost rotted down to call it a humble place. I never saw a humble building in my life. Never saw a humble building in my life. I've seen some about tore down, but I've never seen a humble one. And I've never seen a proud one, but I've seen a lot of proud people. Woo! Now, I didn't charge you a thing for that. Praise the Lord! Now, let's get down to business. Let's get down to business. How many of you are having a camp meeting, or how many are at the camp meeting? What did you do? What's your purpose for coming? Come to the camp or come to have a camp? How many of you want a camp meeting? I want to tell you, good people, and I'm going to introduce my thought. I feel like I should say this, and I'm going to say it. Brother Dees, Sister Dees are so kind. They're kind remarks. Brother Lumpkin, don't you miss one Bible lesson from Brother Dees, not one. I heard them preach one of their first revivals. And that wasn't yesterday. I mean, that wasn't yesterday. I'd tell you how long ago, but Sister Dees don't want me you to know she's that old. They was pastoring a revival in a neighboring church in the same city I was pastoring in, and on my ever off night, I went to their revival. That's how I enjoyed them that long ago. and I still enjoy hearing them. Praise God. And I've come to this camp, and this isn't my first one. I wish I knew how many it was. I preached my first camp meeting in 1935. That is 43 years ago. I wish I knew how many I have preached, but I don't. But I have never come to a camp meeting as anxious to have a God-sent camp meeting like I have this one. Now, I'm not just talking. I mean that. I mean that. And I'm going to, personally, I'm going to have one. I made up my mind, I'm going to have me a camp meeting. If I can get you within your mind, I'm going to have a camp meeting. I'm going to contribute to it, to the good of it. We'll have a meeting. I doubt if you can stop here Friday night. You'll take it home with you. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord. Now you listen closely to my subject, the introduction of it. You listen closely. I feel it really burdened in my heart. I'm reading from the 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter, beginning with the 20th verse. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. That isn't my subject. But how many of you would like to be established, and how many of you would like to prosper? Well, there's a secret. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and to say, Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushment against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. When they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushment against their enemy. I want to quote that again. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushment against their enemy. When are you going to begin? When they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushment against their enemy. When are you going to begin? Have you begun already? And when they began, not when they assembled, not when they went to the tabernacle, not when they went to the gathering, but when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushment against their enemy. And I'm going to keep this before you for the duration of this camp. When are you going to begin? Some of you here tonight haven't begun yet. You haven't begun. When are you going to begin to worship, praise, and bless the Lord? When you do, the Lord is going to set ambushment against the enemy. I want to preach tonight from this thought, the most miraculous victory recorded in the Bible, and the weapons of warfare they used. The most miraculous victory recorded in the Bible, and the weapons of warfare that they used. Praise God. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushment. I'm going to encourage you sometime or other, tonight, tomorrow, or sometime, to begin singing and praising and blessing the Lord. You may be seated. Don't forget our subject. It's a little lengthy, and I want to remind you of it again. The most miraculous victory recorded in the Bible. And I'm aware of David's miraculous victory over Goliath. I'm reminded of Gideon's victory with 300 men. I'm reminded of Samson's victory after victory. I'm reminded of all the victories that you're thinking about. But to me, the one I referred to tonight is the most miraculous victory recorded in the Bible. And I want to cite you to the weapons of warfare that they used. At the time of this particular incident, it was a dark day in the history of Judah. Judah was actually the only nation from among the Israelites that we still had a record of. The other tribes were dispersed out into the big wide world, but Judah was reserved and preserved until Shiloh came. And at this time, Jehoshaphat was king of Judah. And three powerful, strong nations was invading little Judah. Either one of these nations would have been too much for Judah. But three, the Ammonites, the Moabites, and the Edomites, they mobilized their efforts together and was invading the little nation of Judah. King Jehoshaphat knew. He knew, as well as he knew his name was Jehoshaphat, that they did not stand a chance against the enemy without God. He knew it. And the sooner you and I learn that we can do nothing without God, the better off we are. If we could just realize here tonight, with all of these beautiful, comfortable facilities, we can't have a camp meeting without God. We just can't have it. Praise God. We just can't have it. And Jehoshaphat felt his need to the extent that he went to God in prayer. And I'm going to remind you of Jehoshaphat's prayer. He didn't just say a prayer. He prayed desperate before the Lord. And I'm here to tell you tonight that God still hears desperate prayers. He still hears them. You may pray hours and hours with your clock by your side and peep at it every 5 minutes and never get an answer through. But if you'll come to God in desperation, He will hear your prayers today, just as He did in times past. And Jehoshaphat, he was desperate. He needed God, and he knew that he needed the Lord. Praise God. So he starts praying. He reminded the Lord that I know that Thou art the Lord God of the heavens and the earth. You're not only God of your people, but you're God of the heathens. You have power over the heathens. All power is given into your hands. You're God of heaven and you're God of earth. And you gave this land that we possess. You gave it to our forefathers. And you told your friend Abraham. Now, I want you to notice the wording. You promised your friend Abraham. And Abraham is the only man ever mentioned in the Bible as being a friend to God. The only man. Now the Lord's a friend to men, but only one man was ever referred to as a friend to God. And Jehoshaphat says, you promised your friend Abraham that you would give him and his seed this land forever. Now, are you going to allow the enemy to come and take it away from us? Jehoshaphat is praying. He's not just saying, now I lay me down to sleep. Brother, he's talking business with God. You gave us this land. You gave it to us. You gave it to your friend Abraham and to his seed after him forever. That's a promise you made. And now these nations are invading Judah. Are you going to let them take it away from us? He's praying. He's praying. And then he prayed further. He said, after our forefathers came to this land, they builded for you a sanctuary, and they dedicated it to you. And you said you was going to place your name there forever. Now you're going to let them take it away from us. Brother, he's touching the heartstrings of God. Praise the Lord. You notice his praying. It is not a memorized prayer. He's talking business with God. And God is hearing him. And he said, you remember, Lord, when our forefathers is coming to Canaan's land from Egyptians' bondage, when we came up against their borderline, they wouldn't let us cross their land. We asked permission to come across their land. We would come across on the highway. We would not turn off of the highway. We would not destroy their vineyards. We would not destroy their springs. If we did, our children or our stock. We would pay them for it. And they wouldn't even allow us to come across their land. And then when we wanted to invade them and come across anyway, you wouldn't let us cross their land. You wouldn't let us go into their land. Now, are you going to let them come and take ours away from us? Folks, I want to tell you, He's a praying. He's a touching God. I wish somebody would pray like that on this campground. I wish you'd get down to business like that. Lord, you gave us this tabernacle. You gave us these campgrounds. You gave us this heritage that we possess. You told us to stay out of the world. You tell us today to stay out of the world. You tell us to resist the devil and he'll flee from us. Now don't let him come in here and have anything to do with this camp meeting. This is ours, Lord. This is ours. This belongs to us. Praise the Lord. He said, now, here we are, Lord. Here we are. Here we are with our wives and our children. And our eyes are on you, Lord. Our eyes are on you. And you know what the Lord said? He said, step back, Jehoshaphat. This is not your battle. This is my battle. This is not your fight. This is my fight. Praise God. Praise the Lord. And I ought to tell you tonight, friends, this is not my camp meeting. This is His camp meeting. Praise the Lord. This is not my gospel. This is His gospel. This is not my doings. This is His doings. This is not my fight. This is His fight. And when you can get God to fight in your battle for you, you're going to win the battle. Keep that in mind. You're going to win. Praise the Lord. I want to win the battle tonight. And we're going to win. We're going to have a camp meeting. But that didn't mean that they could stay in. I didn't mean that they could sleep in tomorrow because God's going to fight your battle. But He did tell them, stand back. You're not going to have to fight in this battle at all. I'm going to do the fight. I'm going to do the fight. But He told them what to do. He said, the enemy is over in the wilderness of Peor. They're right next to the cliff Z. And I want you and your men, I want you to meet them there in the morning. I want you to meet them there. And I want you to get somebody that'll sing praises unto God. I want you to get somebody that'll say, praise the Lord. I wonder if He could have gotten you. I wonder if you'd have joined that number. I wonder if you would have fought in that battle. I'm trying to get you to fight in this one. And you've got the same weapon. You've got the same weapon. Get you some singers. Get you somebody that'll sing praises unto God. Oh, Brother Hardin's one of the best song leaders in the country. He's just one of the best singers. But he got up here in this camp meeting tonight with a whole house full of people. Whole house full of people leading the song. And there wasn't 10% of you singing with him. He was almost singing a solo. What if everybody would join in the singing? Just what if they would? Just what if? I'm going to let you answer it in your own thinking. What if the song leader would come to this platform and start a song? You don't need a book to sing it. You've heard it all your life. What if you'd stand to your feet and sing it with all of your heart from this front seat to the back seat? How long would you be singing before this house would be charged with the dynamics of God?
You answer that. You answer that. How long would you be singing before you got to the chorus? There'd be so much glory here, half of you would be singing in tongues. And you know it. You know it. You know it. And why won't we do it? Why won't we do it? Why won't we do it? Can you answer that tonight? Can you answer it? Why do I go to a camp meeting? Why do I go? Why do I leave home and go and never enter into it? Never join the singing. Never join the praises. Never get into the camp. Stand around on the outside. Wonder what kind of camp. Oh, friends, I'm pleading here. Everybody join the army tonight. Everybody from the back to the front. I want your singers to sing. And I want you to go meet the enemy. I want you saying, praise the Lord. And I want you singing as you go meet the enemy, the Amalekites, the Moabites, and the Edomites. Now, Judah is going to battle. Their weapons of warfare is not a sling like David had. It is not a trumpet and a candle as Gideon had. It is not a rod as Moses had. It's empty-handed. They are empty-handed. They're going out to meet the enemy. And they're charged to say, praise the Lord. And they're not under a tabernacle to do it. They're not under a church house to do it. They're not behind stained windows to do it. They're not even under a tent. They're out there in the open air, going right to meet the enemy, face to face, marching closer to them every step, saying, praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Somebody coming along singing. I don't know what they're singing. I don't know. I wish I knew. They may have been singing some of David's songs because it's after David was king. They may have been singing, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But they were singing, and they were praising God. And the Bible said, when they began to sing, and when they began to praise, the Lord set ambushment against the Ammonites, against the Moabites, against the Edomites, and they destroyed themselves. When? When they began to sing. When they began to praise. Now, when are you going to begin? If you want a victory, when are you going to start? Praise the Lord! I know that sounded strange to those Edomites. I know it sounded strange to those Moabites. I know it was strange language to all of those heathens. They thought that those Jews had gone crazy. Listen at them. In unison, they were saying, praise the Lord. They were singing, praises unto God. But the devil had to take his flight. They had to run. They ran over themselves, destroyed themselves. And I'm going to tell you here tonight, and I wish you would believe me when I say it, and I wish you'd do it. I wish you'd accept this as just more than a sermon. This is a desperate plea. This is a prayer. This is a bed. This is a coax. This is an encouragement to get every saint of God here to praise Him, worship Him, and bless Him, God. And let me ask you this. Please let me ask you this. Why? Why should a preacher, why should anyone on the platform have to beg somebody to praise the Lord? Why would they? You've come to the house of God. You've come to the place of worship. That's what we gathered here for, was to worship. You knew that was what we were going to do when you got here. Why? Why should there have to be somebody say, come on, come on? Why couldn't it be spontaneous? Why couldn't it just roll out of our souls? Praise the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. That's what it's all about. When are you going to begin? When are you going to begin? They're all around you. All around you, they're worshiping, praising, and blessing God. When are you going to begin? You know what most of our people have accepted? And I want you to listen to me say this. Most of our people have accepted singing as entertainment in the church. But I want to tell you this, God never intended for the platform to entertain the pew. That was never God's order. That was never God's order. Praise the Lord. I read a little of the history of the old Azusa Street Revival. And I read it, and I thought about it, and I'm not asking for any changes from what we're doing. But they would not allow a platform in their church. They would not allow one person to stand up higher than another. There was no place over here for people to gather to entertain people over there. They were all on the same level, and they worshiped from one end of the building to the other. I know we got platforms on a church, and if I was a building one, I'd put a platform for the speaker to be up where they could hear them and see them. But I'll tell you this, God never intended for no platform to entertain the pew. Did you hear me? God never intended for singing to be entertainment. Never intended for it to be. We're using it for that. We're using it for that. We pick out our very best singers to entertain our people with their beautiful singing. And I'm not preaching against it. Don't think I am. I am not. They're some of the most beautiful singers here I know, and I'm not preaching against it, but I'm just letting them know and you know God didn't give them that talent to entertain us. It's to worship with. Praise God. Singing is a weapon of warfare. I was conducting a revival meeting at a place one time, and I noticed the night the pastor announced that the choir is going to sing a certain night, that whole choir would be there. But the next night, I wouldn't see them. I didn't see most of them. One Sunday night, the choir sang, and I was just mean. I guess I was, but I didn't apologize for it. While the choir was on the platform after they had sung their beautiful song, the revival is announced to go on the next week. I just turned around and looked at them. The crowd was so big they couldn't go down. They had to stay on the platform. And I said, singers, I'm going to inform you choir members now. I don't care a thing about hearing you sing next week. Now, I'm telling you the truth. You could have heard a pin drop. Brother, they didn't think a preacher would say that. I said, as far as I'm concerned, your choir singing is over for the duration of this revival. That's the only time you come out here is to sing. That's your only interest in this revival is to come out here and let somebody hear you sing. I don't care to hear you sing. Oh, they looked at me. And I looked at them. I meant what I said. I said this, and I want you to hear me what I said. I said, I'd rather hear some old brother with a Sisson Roebuck guitar with only 3 strings on it and 2 of them out of tune. I'd rather hear him get up here and sing with his head thrown back to the glory of God, letting heavenly music roll, as to hear you just come out here to let me hear your beautiful voice. If that's all the interest you got in this revival, you can stay home. Well, me might say, Brother Glass, the pastor must not have liked that. Yes, he did. He was tired of it too, but he just wouldn't tell him. And I'll tell you this, friends, God didn't put singing in this church to entertain nobody. Singing is a weapon of warfare. Praise God! Praise God! While I'm on it, I'm going to say it. I don't have no time to waste to go to these great big professional singings. Watch them slip off behind the curtain and get a snort out of the bottle. Smoke a cigarette. Then come back on the platform and expect me to applaud and stand up and yell while they sing gospel songs. I don't like such as that. Praise the Lord! One of the members of a church, not my church, but a neighboring church, they were in a revival, and I knew it. I saw him one day, and I said, how's the revival going? He said, well, it's going pretty good, but I didn't go last night. I said, you didn't go last night? Why didn't you go? He said, well, you know, such and such a quartet was singing over here last night. And I went to hear, it was one of those professional quartets. I said, I want to ask you something. You mean you missed your revival service to go over there to hear them sing? You missed your revival service? He blushed. He wished he hadn't have told me he went. But it's too late, and I'm going to make him blush more. I said, did you know those singers smoke cigarettes and drink beer and drink liquor before they go to the platform and sing? He said, well, I hear they do, and maybe they do, but they sing good. I said, would you come to one of our fellowship meetings and let us preachers come out from behind the curtain after we'd smoked a cigarette and drank a bottle of beer and got a drink from a bottle of liquor. Would you come and hear us preach? He said, no, I wouldn't. I said, I'm not going to go hear you sing the gospel like that either. Praise God, I'm not going to do it. I've got no time for it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God never gave us singing just for Sunday morning at church. Not just for Sunday night at church. God never gave us singing just when we got victory. God gave you singing to bring victory. Did you hear me? He gave you singing for the battlefield. For the battlefield. Sing a song in the battle.
A lot of you are going to shout and say praise the Lord over this, and you know it's true. A lot of you won't sing at church at home unless you feel good. Go on, shout. But you'll go home Wednesday night, and if you don't feel real good, you won't even join in the singing. When I'll tell you this, if you'd start singing, every one of you, from the front to the back, you wouldn't sing one song till you did feel good. A lot of us only sing when there's a victory. The Lord didn't give you a song just to sing after the battle. He gave you a song to sing in the battle. In the fight, sing! Right in the very face of the devil, sing! 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 Say praise the Lord right in the face of the enemy.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I've learned this. When you feel like you don't have a friend left in the world, and if you haven't felt that way at some time in life, you will. You will. It don't mean that you don't. You just feel it. Don't go off and hide and stay away from church and feel sorry for yourself. Get off somewhere. You may not know the key it's written in. May not even know the tune too well. But start singing, what a friend we have in Jesus. First thing you know, you'll feel friendship all around you. Praise the Lord. Sing it. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. There's been times when it seemed like you were just out up on a pinnacle, just up here exposed to every demon in out of hell's got a pot shot at you all around. No protection nowhere. The devil's shooting you with his fiery darts from every direction. I tell you what you do. Just start singing, "Hide me, O blessed rock of ages. Hide me. Hide me." You may not know too much about the beautiful music of it, but just sing it anyway. Hide me, O blessed rock of ages. First thing you know, you feel yourself so securely tucked away in the shelter, praise God, of His care and His love. God hath given you worship. Worship as a weapon of warfare. Right in the very face of the devil. Right in the very face of the enemy. Praise the Lord. Sing praises unto the Lord. And as they began singing and praising, the Lord set ambushment against their enemy. And their enemy was destroyed. And they walked off of the battlefield with a victory in their soul. But how did they win it? Singing, praising, and blessing God.
Folks, I want to tell you something. I know I got to get along here. I don't want to, but I am anyway. This works in the New Testament. This works in the New Testament. I read where Paul and Silas, they went down to Philippi to hold a revival. But when they got there, they didn't find a beautiful church, air conditioned, polished pews, carpeted floors. They didn't go in on a jet and have a pastor to meet them in a limousine and stop by a beautiful restaurant and eat a steak and go on to their beautiful parsonage and refresh themselves and go to the beautiful church with a wonderful bunch of saints. That wasn't the way it was in Philippi. It hadn't always been that way here. I can tell you something about that. It hadn't always been that way here. Praise God, I'm glad it's here now. I'm glad the Lord let me live long enough to enjoy.
Praise the Lord!
But they found themselves in Philippi locked up in jail. They're not just locked up in the jailhouse, they're back in an inner cell. Locked in an inner cell. And that isn't enough. They've got their feet in stocks. Their feet are in stocks. And it's midnight. The lights are out. It's dark. It's not only dark in the jail. It's not only midnight time-wise. But it's a midnight experience for Paul and Silas. It's a midnight experience. It's a dark, dreary day. Who's going to get them out of jail? Who's going to bond? Who's going to help them? What's going to happen? But they didn't let that discourage them. Praise God. I don't know if Paul and Silas ever sang a duet in their life in a church house. But singing wasn't originated just for the church house. You can sing in the jailhouse. You can sing in a prison house. Of course, a lot of us, we only going to sing at church, and that's when we feel good. And some of us never feel good. I've asked them to sing and see them grab their throat. I've actually felt that I wanted so-and-so to sing so bad to get the feeling better. I'd get a song book, I'd open it to the song that the congregation is singing, and I'd walk back there and take it to them and hold it right in front of them, and they'd take it out of my hand and close it and lay it down. Just not going to sing. That's just all there is to it. They're just not going to sing. Well, they're just not going to get blessed. That's just how simple it is. And I sometimes feel maybe I could beat Paul singing. And sometimes I actually think maybe in some ways I can beat him preaching. Boy, I knew you wouldn't shout amen there. But it took him till midnight to preach him to sleep, and I can actually do it in 5 minutes. That's right, I can do it in 5 minutes. Sometimes I can get some to sleep quicker than that. And I think maybe I could beat him singing. Because the Bible says his speech was contemptible. I don't know what kind of a singer he was. But I told you already, singing just wasn't given to entertain. It's a weapon. And one of the other of them said, let's sing a song. Sing a song at midnight in jail. Yes, let's sing a song and let's worship God. Let's sing a song and let us worship God. And Paul and Silas began singing a song. And while they were singing, that old jailhouse started shaking. Brother, let me ask you this, and you answer me. If Paul and Silas could sing without an organ, without a piano, with a contemptible speech and make a jailhouse shake, What could this congregation do here tonight if they'd all together in unison sing out? Listen at this. While they were singing, one of them's foot come out of the stocks. And one said, "Hey, my foot's loose. My foot's loose. The other one's loose." The other one said, "Mine's loose. Both of them's loose." They sang themselves loose in a prison house. Some of you can't do it in a camp meeting. I want to say that again. They sang themselves free. Free. They sang themselves loose and free in a prison house. And some of you can't do it in a camp meeting with 1,000 saints around you. When are you going to begin? What will it take to make you sing? What will it take to make you praise the Lord? When are you going to begin? Will you ever begin? Can anybody do anything to get you to praise and bless and worship God? When they began. Let me tell you something, folks. This church was born worshiping, praising, and blessing God. They were continuously in the temple praising and blessing God. Just worshiping, praising, and blessing God. Continuously in the temple worshiping, praising, and blessing God. When suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Oh, if we would just continue to worship and praise and bless God. Here in this service tonight, if you'd start now, and you wouldn't stop when the lights are out, you'd go to your room worshiping, praising, and blessing God. You'd go to your home worshiping, praising, and blessing God. You'd come back in the morning worshiping, praising, and blessing God. All day tomorrow, you'd worship, praise, and bless God. What kind of meeting would we be having here about Wednesday or Thursday night? I tell you, there may be some cancellations, I don't know. But I'll tell you this, my God wants to do everything we're asking Him to do. He's ready to do it. He's wanting to do it. We must. I'm going to repeat. You have to agree. You have to. I told someone today, I preached to Brother, I don't know Brother Deeds or not, but someone today. I preached for Brother Jerry Ward in Houston yesterday morning and last night. In the Sunday morning sermon, I said something. I don't know what it was. She told me, but it got away from me. Some little simple statement. She said, "When you said that, faith hit my heart." She'd been seeking the Lord for the Holy Ghost for 7 months. Her husband had already received it, and he told her he wanted to be with her when she received the Holy Ghost. And he had to work yesterday morning. He wasn't there. And she said, "Faith hit my heart that I'm going to receive the Holy Ghost today. I'm going to receive the Holy Ghost today." And she said, then the thought come, my husband wants to be with me, and he's not working. So I'm not going up this morning. I'm going to wait. I want to be with him. She went home, and she fixed him a dinner for him to eat when he come in from work. And he ate his dinner, and she never said anything about it. And he went to a bedroom to take a nap. And she cleaned up the kitchen, and she went to the other bedroom and got down on her knees to pray. And the Holy Ghost began to come down, settle down upon her. And she said, I was afraid to say praise the Lord because I'd receive it, and I promised him that I'd be with him. And said, I got up with my hands up. I got up, and I went into his bedroom where he was. And I said, I shook him. And I said, you better wake up. I'm about to get the Holy Ghost. You better wake up. You better wake up. And she said, he woke up. He woke up. And when he woke up, she began to speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Let me tell you, friends, people still receive the Holy Ghost, worshiping, praising, and blessing God. You that are without the Holy Ghost back there in the audience, if you join in this praising, you could receive the Holy Ghost before the altar call was given. I'd like to see that in this camp meeting. I've seen it in camp meetings. I've seen it in camp meetings. People stand up in the back and receive the Holy Ghost while the preachers are preaching. I want to see it here. You don't know how bad I want to see it. And if you worship and praise and bless God, you can. You can. You can. Not only was this church born worshiping, praising, and blessing God, but this church stays alive worshiping, praising, and blessing God. You yourself will stay alive spiritually, worshiping, praising, and blessing God. You're going to dry up in your soul when you stop. Praise the Lord. I've got some more news for you. This church is going up with a shout. It's going up with a shout. It is born with a shout. It stays alive with a shout. It's going up with a shout. It wins its victories in a shout. God has given us weapons of warfare that are not carnal, but mighty through God to the tearing down strongholds. If Paul Silas would have had David's slingshot, they couldn't have had it when they got in the inner cell. The jailer officers would have taken it away from them. If they would have had Moses' rod, they couldn't have had it back in the inner cell. It would have been taken away from them. If they would have had Gideon's trumpet or candle, pitcher, they couldn't have gotten back in the inner cell with it. It would have been taken away from them. But the weapon of warfare they had, nobody could take it. No one could take it away from you. No one. No one. Are you going to let the devil keep you from using it? Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Let's stand up, worship, and praise, and bless God. Right in the big middle of this, keep on praising Him. You that want the Holy Ghost, just come down here worshiping, praising, and blessing God. Come on down the aisle worshiping, praising, and blessing God. Come on right now. Just get out and come on. Best time you'll ever have. Get out and come on. Get out and come on. Come on, wherever you are. Just come on up here worshiping, praising, and blessing God. Come from the back. Come on, come on. Come on up close. Others are coming behind you. Come on up close. Praise the Lord. Just keep on worshiping. Keep right on. It's a weapon of warfare. The devil don't like this praising God. Somebody else, come on. That's right. Come on. Come from everywhere. Come from all over this building. Come on, come on. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Come worshiping, praising, and blessing God. Come on. Come on, come on, come on. There's others that ought to come. There's others that ought to come.